Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. For the 40 days of Lent, we read a daily reflection written by Pastor Zach Zender. And then we had the good fortune of watching a video that I had recorded with Andrea's help, challenging us to serve like Jesus. Now, we probably didn't need 40 days to figure out how challenging it is to serve like the one who, though he was God, lowered himself into the form of a man in order that he might serve, not be served, which culminated in him giving his life for us. You see, Jesus set an exceedingly high, or actually make that low, standard for what a life of service can look like. Nevertheless, for 40 days, we focused upon the servanthood of Jesus, and we were challenged to serve similarly. This challenge was reinforced on Maundy Thursday when we were given a new command by Jesus as he washed the feet of the disciples. Love one another as I have loved you. This command to love and serve is undeniable. And yet it's something we struggle to do. Peter and John, who we just read about from Acts, were there when Jesus originally gave this new command. And I would dare say that in our reading, they were fulfilling the command when they saw and they healed that man who had been lame from birth, who would daily be brought to the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate. Now, admittedly, they didn't give the man what he asked for, if you were paying attention. He was asking for money. But instead, they gave him what he really needed. Now, I think it's important for us to note that when Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none," they weren't lying. It's probably also important for us to note or to confess the times when we are asked for money and we say, "I'm sorry, I don't have any." A little white lie, maybe, because we don't want to get our purse, open our purse in front of, on the street, in front of somebody we don't know, or we don't want to get our wallet out and start leafing through all those big bills we have to find a small one to give to the person. No, you see, for them, they were telling the truth. We often, okay, maybe I often, when I'm asked, I just either pretend like I don't hear the person, right? I'm much too busy to be bothered. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any change, when it's jingling in my pocket. And then we justify, it's just a little white lie. Somebody else can help that person. But that was not the case with Peter and John, because our reading comes after the Pentecost event in Acts. In Acts 2, you may be familiar with the story when the Spirit descends in the form of tongues of fire on the heads of those gathered in the upper room. And they are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that day, Peter preached and some 3,000 people were baptized. And then the disciples put all of their money into a common purse in order that they might together use that money and give it to those who had the greatest need. So it's after Peter and John have given their money into this common purse that they have gone to the temple at the appointed hour for prayer. So they literally didn't have any silver or gold because they had given it into this common purse. But they didn't lie to the man. No, in fact, they saw the man. We read in verse 4 of our reading that when the man called out to them asking for alms, Peter stopped and he looked intently at this man. He looked intently at this man. He didn't pretend like he wasn't there. He didn't brush him off. He didn't go to the other side of the walkway, the other side of the gate, so that he could pretend like he didn't see them. No, he looked intently at this man, and so did John. and they invited the man to look at them. And thus began not a transaction, but a relationship. And then they did for the man what he didn't even ask them to do. He'd asked for money. He didn't have the nerve to ask for healing. He asked for just for some money to get through the day, and they saw a need in him that maybe he didn't even realize could be satisfied, so that he didn't even think to ask. And Jesus, through the power of the name of Jesus, Peter, in the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth, reached out to this man, touched this man. When was the last time you touched a homeless person willingly? Reached out. Not only did they see this man, Peter reached out and touched this man, held his right hand, lifted him up, raised him up as Jesus was raised from the grave. And the man with them began to leap and shout for joy and praise God. And in that act, they provided not only healing, but restoration for that man. Where the Greek word that's used here for healing is a restoration or wholeness. This man was healed in body, in spirit, and he was actually healed or restored back into community. You see, he goes with Peter and John then into the temple to praise God, the one in whose name he had been healed. No longer is he just standing or sitting, lying at the beautiful gate of the temple. He crosses over into the temple to praise God for the healing he has received by the power of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we do every time we gather for worship? We pass through these doors, maybe not beautiful, but doors. And we together gather here to thank and praise God for the healing, the restoration, the wholeness we have received by the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The man has been restored into community, a community that walked by him every time they went into the temple, many of them probably denying he was even there. And now he had become one with them. If you remember Pastor Zach, I mentioned him earlier, and maybe you spent some time with him during this Lent or the Lent before or the Lent before. One of the things he said in one of those challenges, I don't think it was this challenge, and nobody helped me after the first service, and maybe some of you will remember it. Maybe he didn't say it, and I'm just crediting him with it, but I know I heard this somewhere. That when we are offering somebody help, when we are offering to serve somebody, when we see somebody who's in need, we shouldn't simply say, well, let me know if you need anything. Have you said that? Let me know how I can help. Does the phone ring? Do you get a text? Do they ever ask for anything? No, rarely. Pastor Zach, I think, encouraged us to offer specific help. You're at the store, you call or text the person, say, hey, I'm at the store and I'll be passing by your house on my way home. What do you need me to pick up for you? Do you need anything for dinner tonight? Do you need toilet paper? Do you need Kleenex? What do you need from me? And those specific offers of help quite often can lead to somebody saying, well, yeah, I could get it myself, but since you're already there, they would accept your offer of help. Maybe it's dropping off a gift card to a restaurant. Maybe it's offering to mow their lawn. Maybe it's offering to clean their bathroom. Maybe it's offering to drive them to a doctor's appointment or sit with a loved one so they can go off and have lunch. A specific offer of help quite often is received. And quite often, the person who you're offering it to doesn't even know how badly they need it. And those offers of help may not be as significant as healing a man who was born lame, but they no less demonstrate the love of God in Christ Jesus than the healing of the lame man. The man didn't ask to be healed, but yet he received that act of service and hospitality and restoration from Peter and John. These small acts are not as miraculous as making a lame man walk, but they can be healing and restorative in and of themselves. Many of you know that this week marked the 1-year anniversary of my dad's passing. And when we made the decision as a family to begin administering morphine, we knew what that was going to lead to. We knew the end would be coming for him. But we didn't know was what the journey would be between that time and when the end came. But he had a caregiver, Rebecca, who worked at the Borden Care where he was living. And she knew better than we did what we should expect. So the day after we began administering the morphine was Rebecca's day off. But she showed up with bags of groceries, snacks, sandwiches, drinks, Kleenex, all the things she thought we might need as we sat with my dad and waited for the next 5 or 6 days for him to pass. Nothing she brought is something we couldn't have gotten for ourselves. It wasn't that we didn't have the means to go buy food, but she, in that selfless act, on her own time, with her own money, went out and provided for us something, an act of love and service, a demonstration of God's love for us, hope in the shadow of death, healing in our time of great need. A simple act meant so much. And I think when Jesus gave that command to love one another as he has loved us, those are the types of acts. Simple, thoughtful, not great money, not the healing making somebody walk per se, but healing in and of itself. It went a long way for us that week to know that we were loved and cared. Rebecca saw us. She saw my dad, and she saw the need, a need we didn't even know we had. Last week, Pastor Bruce preached. Thank you. You're all welcome that he preached. But one of the things he did was he challenged us to think about ourselves as being sent. Rebecca was sent to us that week. She had worked at the Borden Care for months before that. But I believe she was sent for that week specifically. And it may be interesting for you to know that the morning my dad died was Rebecca's last day working at that Borden Care. She had told us she'd accepted a new job, and her last day would be that Saturday. And it was that morning my dad died, and so she was able to be there and continue to love, can't look at mom, love and support us, you know, on that final day. Was it miraculous what she did? Yes. Maybe not in the ways that we read in the Bible and wonder, did that really happen? I can tell you this really happened, and it was life-giving for us in the shadow of death. So as we gather here on this third Sunday of Easter, continuing to celebrate the resurrection, Jesus giving his life, offering us new life, and our challenge with how we too can serve like he did, we read the story of Peter and John and how they saw the needs of a man who every day had been brought out to the beautiful gate at the temple to beg for money, and they gave him something he wouldn't have even known to ask for himself. When I think about Rebecca and how she loved and cared and served us and provided this act of hospitality that we didn't even know we needed. And maybe we didn't. We could have gotten it ourselves, but that's, she knew our needs before we even knew them ourselves. So my encouragement to you is to keep your eyes open. Don't be blind to the needs around you. Actually see the people you encounter. And then figure out how to love and serve them as you have been loved and served by Jesus Christ, who gave your life, his life for you, and for me. Because in those acts, you are providing some of that healing in the name of Jesus Christ. You are doing what Peter and John did in our reading today. For we too have been challenged to serve and have been sent to do the same. Amen.